Grace, greetings, and welcome to the Deeper Daily Podcast for the 3rd of July. I'm Paul White, and I'm in the first few days of introducing our next verse-by-verse study, which will be through 1 Peter, a book that we have not dug into verse-by-verse in quite some time, and I don't think I've ever done so on the DDP. So it's exciting for me to move away from the Pauline letters and into at least the first of Peter's epistles, and it's fitting that we start by talking about the Pauline letters because there are similarities and dissimilarities between the writings of Peter and the writing of Paul. Namely, that Peter is a fisherman from Galilee, presumably an uneducated, at least in what you would say the letters, an uneducated fisherman. Paul is famously highly educated, in fact, about as highly educated as a man in his day could hope to be, not only literate, but a man of letters. He could write, he spoke several languages, and then Peter, if he's the classic Galilean fisherman, would have had none of those qualities. So how does he write a letter that is written in a Pauline style of Greek? And that's caused scholars to believe, possibly, that 1 Peter is pseudonymous. And that meaning that it's not really written by who it says it's written by. This was not an uncommon practice in the first couple of centuries of Christian writing to place someone's name on a letter that did not write it, but make it look as if they wrote it to lend credence to the letter. We can't prove that that's the case in the book of Peter. There's some evidence to me, and we'll get to them as we go, through the letters that it is at least someone closely associated with Peter, if not Peter himself. And I actually lean towards the fact that the letter is a little bit sophisticated and could be connected with Paul, that I think it could be written by someone else with Peter sort of speaking over their shoulder, namely Silvanus, who we'll see, a guy Paul talks about in 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, and 2 Corinthians, and then Peter mentions him in the fifth chapter of this first letter. So it could be, and this has been commonly held belief for the book of Mark for centuries, is that Peter spoke to a man named Mark who wrote it down, and that Peter might not have had the ability to write it down, but certainly had something to add. Christ doesn't give you this sort of magical power to write if you don't go out and learn how to write. I think, and I don't know that I need to insult anyone's intelligence with this, and hopefully it doesn't insult anyone's intelligence, but you're not going to just get knowledge that you don't go get. You're not just going to have it. So the Holy Spirit is not, and I'm not saying he can't give people miraculous ability, don't get me wrong, but it is not the common practice of the Holy Spirit to fill your head with knowledge you don't have. That is yours to go acquire. So if Peter couldn't read or write, which is possible, he's not suddenly going to be able to read and write and then write the book of 1 Peter. However, it would not have been uncommon to have spoken it through someone else. And I kind of feel like that explains how we have the letter better than just saying, well, it wasn't really Peter. He had nothing to do with it. I think he most certainly had something to do with it. Now, what's the timing of the letter? Well, that could be up for debate. Peter seems to write about a persecution, which we talked about yesterday. And a lot of scholars think if it's a persecution, and Peter was killed under Nero around AD 65. Peter dies in Rome under Emperor Nero, 5 years before the fall of the temple. But if it's pseudonymous and it's not Peter writing, then some scholars think that the persecutions have to do with those of the late first century that come under Domitian, which would put the writing of Peter in the 90s, maybe the early 100s. I don't agree with this. And the reason I don't agree with this, and I'm not alone, many scholars, great work by Frank Thielman called The Theology of the New Testament lends to this as well, that Peter is writing about mob violence, the same mob violence Paul writes about in 1 Thessalonians. And so if you read 1 Thessalonians and 1 Peter back to back, you'll get the same feel that we're talking about this sort of street violence, not government empire violence against Christianity or Judaism. That kind of violence was happening in the 50s. And so about 15 years before the fall of the temple. So Peter could be referring to that in his persecution. And I think that also helps explain scriptures like 1 Peter 1:20, where Peter says, in these last times. And eschatologically, a phrase like in these last times, I think, would speak to a Jewish audience who are seeing the last of the Mosaic economy, which would come to its fruition in AD 70, and that would be the fall of the temple. Now, that helps explain some things eschatologically, that if we don't attribute the book to Peter, and we attribute it to some anonymous writer using Peter's name who's writing in AD 95 or AD 105 or whatever, then these last times would have a different connotation, and that would be up for debate and certainly would be up in the air. But there are features that I think show that Peter has a good enough relationship with Paul based on Paul's writings and Luke's writings that Peter could pick up some theological lingo from Paul. So maybe we see some similarities based upon that. Such as Galatians 1 and 2, when we spent our time in Galatians, we see Paul refer to Peter more than once. Peter, according to John 1, lives in Bethsaida, lives in Capernaum, according to Mark 1. These are both trade routes, both an area where Greek is freely spoken. Peter's brother Andrew has a Greek name. Andrew's not Jewish, a Jewish name, that's a Greek name. So we could assume that maybe Peter could speak Greek, and if so, maybe write it. You don't have to have went to university to learn Greek or to learn how to write Greek. Simply living in a region which is spoken could give you that ability. There are people who are bilingual and trilingual who are no more educated than you or me, but because they're around it from the time that they're little child, then it makes it a lot easier to be able to speak multiple languages. Okay, that covers the authorship and the time. I think we've given a pretty good smattering, a pretty good overview over the last few days. Tomorrow, we'll spend a little time with the 4th of July concept and a little bit more time with our 1 Peter intro, and we'll see you then. God bless.